بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى جل جلاله وعم نواله، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. So alhamdulillah, we've reached the end of Surah Al-Rahman in our series. So today inshallah we begin from verse 42. And this is a very interesting, very significant section, because this entire section, which equals a good portion of the surah, maybe one third of the surah, all the way from verse 46 to 78, to the end of the surah. So that's over 30 verses, 32 verses approximately, that speak about Jannah in great detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about paradise in other parts of the Quran as well. But here it's in great detail, where two types of paradise are discussed for two different categories of people. And there's somewhat greater detail mentioned here than in a number of other places. This is also, as is the style of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about aspects of warning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the punishment. If he starts with that discussion, he will normally always follow it up with a discussion about paradise and forgiveness. And if the discussion begins with paradise and forgiveness and all the good and bliss, then normally there will always be a verse or two at least that will speak about what would happen to those who do not follow that path. Because constantly the Quran is about what we call targhib and tarheeb, to persuade people to come onto the right track. Most of the time people work with hope, sometimes people work with fear. The balance, the best way is the balance, and that's the way of the Quran. So you'll notice here that in over 30 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about paradise in this very eloquent way. And it's pretty much split down the middle, that these 32 verses, half of them speak about one aspect of paradise or one type of paradise. And the other part speaks about another type of paradise. So inshallah, let's begin with this, the first part, which is from ayah 42.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان ذواتا أفنان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما عينان تجريان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما من كل فاكهة زوجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان متكئين على فرش بطائنها من استبرق وجنى الجنتين دان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهن قاصرات الطرف لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان كأنهن الياقوت والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
So starting with the name of Allah, and seeking refuge in Allah from the shaitan, the accursed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in the Quran, and for the one who is fearful of having to stand before his Lord, the one who fears the time when they will stand in front of their Lord, There are two gardens. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Both have branches. Both have an abundance of trees and branches. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? In both there are two flowing springs. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? In both there are also two kinds of every fruit. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? The people of these gardens will be reclining on flooring whose lining will be of thick silk. Just the lining of it will be of thick silk. And the fruits plucked from the two gardens will be close at hand. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? In them there will be maidens restraining their glances, whom neither a man might have touched before them nor a jinn. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? They will look like rubies and corals. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Is there any reward for goodness other than goodness? So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? That's about the first Jannah. Or that's about the first category. That's half of it. And when you'll see the second Jannah, you'll see that there's actually a comparison. But this first one is more elite. This first one is more luxurious. The first one has more facility. The description is of greater abundance. So you can look out for this. It's mentioned, firstly it says, for those, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Maqam means a place of standing, or the time of standing. So those who fear the time that they will stand in front of their Lord, those who fear that place when they will eventually be called to stand in front of their Lord and the reckoning will take place. Clearly the one who has the greater conscience of this time, or of that time rather, is more likely going to get into such paradise. Because then the second type of paradise is described as وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ. And besides them are two other gardens. The word duna could refer to besides which, other than which, or it could also refer to duna martabatan, which basically means lesser than which, slightly inferior, not as superior. Still going to be a Jannah, but not as superior as this one. وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّةً. That's for the other believers. There has to be a difference between the two. One is the سَابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, those who are at the forefront. So I would say that since this starts off with وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ, I think that encompasses it all. The one who fears when they're going to stand in front of Allah. If that's the person, that is the state and description of the person with taqwa. Because the taqwa is that, should I do this? Hey, I have to stand in front of Allah. Allah is watching me, what am I going to say to him? So the person who has this fear of standing in front of the Lord at one time or the other, the more this presence is in their mind, whether they're at work, whether they're at home, whether they're alone, whether they're with someone else, the one who has the greater fear that's constantly overwhelming them, they're constantly thinking about this, then clearly their aspiration is going to be higher in this regard. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. For such a person is going to be two paradise, two gardens rather, and this, the following are the descriptions of this garden, or these two gardens. But, so which of the rewards of your, which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? That this is what we've given to you, O pious people. O people who fear Allah, who have the taqwa, who have this shield constantly with them. It says, Jannatan, why two paradise? Why two? Why two gardens? Why not one really big garden? Or why not many smaller gardens, relatively speaking? Or many large gardens? Why two gardens? The thing is that this is just the term used here. Because you have in other places, Jannatin. You do have the plural used. You also have the singular used, Jannatin. And then you also have within the different modes of recitation of the Quran, the seven qira'at, some read some of them Jannah, some read some of them Jannat. The thing is that it's a perspective. Because at the end of the day, there's a lot of real estate up there. There's a lot of space up there. And if the description of paradise for the last person, the greatest sinner, the greatest sinning believer, the believer who sinned the most, who will eventually be the last person out of paradise after all of the other believers who have sinned have been able to come out, this is going to be the last one who's done the most sins. Now it's taken longer for him to be cleansed. Now he's going to be out. That person minimum will get 10 times the size of this world. And it looks like the majority of our Jannah is gardens. That's what Jannah means. The word itself. Unfortunately, the word paradise becomes more popular for Jannah nowadays. But it's really Jannah is a garden. So Jannat. Two. So different ulama, mufassireen, have given different explanations of two, of why the two has been mentioned here. Some have said that this is speaking about two. One is for his own, and one is for every other servant and everything that will be to his disposal. It's for theirs. I think I explained last week that this is how rich people live. They have outhouses, they have servant houses, they have different places for each person. That's the way it works in this world. Except that if we haven't experienced that, I mentioned a friend of mine was a taxi driver in this really expensive area. He was called to pick up someone. When he got to the gate swung open. He drove up a really, really long driveway through all of the gardens or whatever it was. And then finally came to this really big house. So he stopped by the door waiting for the person to come out. Person wasn't coming out. He contacted him on the phone. He said, I'm waiting for you outside. The person said, I'm looking outside the window. I'm outside. In fact, I think he said, I'm outside. I don't see you. He said, I'm right outside the door. Then they figured out that he was outside the servant's quarter. And that was a big mansion itself. Then he drove up and then there was something out of the world. And that's just one of the places. This is how people live. And this, you can imagine Jannah to be so much greater than that. Because according to the Mufassirin, they mentioned that what you find in this world is just the name of it. Compare the name to the real thing. You know, the name Medina Munawwara, when you go there, it's a whole different story. If that's the comparison some Mufassirin are making of what you see things as in this world, they're just names of what the reality is. You do not see a reality in this world of anything. These are just names, like names. Like a small indication. So he says that for his spouse, for his partners, the maidens of paradise, for the servants, and for everything else will be the other one. And thus, like Qurtubi says, that the reason you have two is because in this world as well, people like to have, that the richer people are, they have many residences. They have a place here, they have another place here, they have a place here, they have a place for different seasons. And that's Jannah. Why should you just do with one? Allah will give you two or more. And they will have many different types of things inside. Zamakhshari, he says that one is because of the good deeds you've done. The other one is because in lieu of the bad deeds that you restrained from. In a hadith it mentions, Jannatan min fiddatin aniyatuhuma wa ma fihima. There will be two gardens. One of them made of silver. Everything inside will be of silver. And the other one will be of gold, and everything within it will be of gold as well. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Zawata afnan. Zawata afnan is the first description given. That both of these gardens will be, it says, will have an abundance of branches. He didn't say trunks, he said branches, afnan, rather than the trunk itself. Because you could have a trunk without anything. The branch is the part that has the flowers and the fruits. The branches bear the flowers and the fruits. It was more appropriate to mention the branches. You got branches, you're going to have trunks. So he says, an abundance of branches. So this place will be like a beautiful forest that will have an abundance of shrubbery, greenery rather. And then that will be described later, specifically that will be described later. The other, you see the branches, the benefits, you could have these tall, slim trees that don't give you anything. But when you've got branches, it gives you a number of things. Branches will be laden with fruits and flowers. Branches will give you shade. So the benefit that you get is being described through the branches, which is superior to describing just the trunks. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ تَجْرِيَانِ This is all not just going to be dry, but there are going to be two lakes within it, two rivers within it. عَيْنَانِ تَجْرِيَانِ Two large streams. عَيْنُ normally refers to stream with clear water. That's kind of the concept. The word عَيْن is for eye as well. And it's also for stream, of a pure stream. That's what we speak about. I mean, here, watch it, it says, here it'll say ذَوَاتَ أَفْنَانِ فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ تَجْرِيَانِ Two running streams. So these will be running throughout. Ibn Kathir here says that they will be running so that they can water and irrigate all of those great abundant trees that you have, bearing the different fruits. These will be the lakes, these will be the streams that will do that. And because of this, these trees, these branches will bear fruits of many different kinds. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he says that both of these streams will run with pure, clean water. Pure water. One of them will be called Tasneem, the other one will be called Salsabil. Tasneem and Salsabil, these are names of the two streams of paradise. But from a literal perspective, what does Tasneem mean? What does Salsabil refer to? Tasneem refers to water that comes from the top, that comes from above. How to understand this, Allah knows best. But the way the water and the greenery, the trees will work there, the interaction between them is obviously going to be as amazing as Jannah is. So normally what Tasneem refers to is water coming from an elevated chamber. Now Allah knows best how that's going to run. But then the Salsabil, that is the sweetest or most choicest of wines. That is a meaning of Salsabil as well. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. This is what Hassan al-Basri is saying, that these two streams that have been spoken about, one of them is of this. And Allah knows best. The other meaning of Salsabil is just that it's a fountain of paradise. It's a water source of paradise. But it will be there to irrigate this large expanse of greenery. Then, so which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? That needs to be constantly repeated, because we don't want to just get involved and engrossed in the description. We want to connect it back to Allah. We don't want it to become a desire thing. That it's just a full-fledged desire without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we don't bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into this, how are we going to attain this? And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, which of the bounties of your Lord do you deny? Then it says, فِيهِمَا مِن كُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ زَوْجَانِ So now we've got all of this greenery, we've got these rivers. You will also have in there, it says, مِن كُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ زَوْجَانِ From every form of fruit, two kinds. Right? And anybody who works with trees, and they will understand that there's normally two, there are always two kinds to continue the production. Right? And there's a special way that they breed. There is a way to do this. And that's what you have bees for and things of that nature. Here it says that for every fruit that there is in the world, that's why some of the Mufassirin have mentioned that for every fruit that you have in this world, whether it be sweet or sour or bitter, there will be a pleasant an absolutely delicious version of that available in paradise. This is what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says. And that's where he says that in the world is only the name of what you have in the heavens, in the paradise. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Fakhruddin al-Razi in his tafsir, he says that you've got Dhawata Afnan, abundant branches, two rivers or two streams, and two types of every fruit. These have been mentioned as the descriptions of the two gardens that you will get. Now, imagine it that if you've come into a lot of money and you're going to buy some property, you enter that property and mashallah, it's well kept, well done. You know, we're talking about a significant amount here. You can imagine when you go in that the first impressions will be really important for you. So if you see there various different types of fruit that are so well kept, and subhanallah, the one place that I saw this, right, is when you go to the Jannatul Arif next to the Alhambra Palace, the Qasul Hamra in Andalusia, which is in southern Spain, specifically in Granada. So what they've done is they've got the massive palace, and then next to it they've got this garden that is very long, many hundred meters. It's called Jannatul Arif, the Garden of Arif, which they've changed to Khin Relief right now in Spanish. But literally there you've got all of the beautiful growth around. You've got the fountains, you've got the stream in the middle. And they said that this is what the rulers of that place were trying to do, to create a depiction of paradise in this world. I know many people speak about the great achievements of Spain. This is a tangent, but it's something I've been thinking about for a while. That many people speak about the achievements of Spain. They mention all the great things that came out of Spain, and a lot of good things did come out of Spain, of southern Spain, Andalusia. Many, many great scholars. Many. And lots of work was done there. But I don't think we can speak about Spain just about the positive aspects. Something went fundamentally wrong for the result to be what we see it today. Something went fundamentally wrong. Right? And that, I think, is probably more important for us. It's okay to glorify about the past. But you think those people there would have ever thought that they would have to stop and there would be nobody to say Allah there anymore? So there are many lessons to be learnt. I'm not saying we need to be pessimistic about things, but I think we need to be realistic. Because we're speaking about a place where the leaders, the rulers, tried to create a paradise, which still exists. That paradise still exists. Meaning that Jannah still exists. And despite the fact that Cordoba, the great masjid in Cordoba, is no longer a masjid. Sadly, it's a cathedral where you go in and there's a high altar, and it really sickens you when you see that place. Especially now they've really wizened up and they tell you from the beginning, take your hats off, because you can't go into... It's kind of very strange, because if you go into a Jewish synagogue, you have to cover your head. Whereas if you go into a Christian cathedral, you have to be bareheaded. So they will insist on doing that, and they will tell you, do not pray. And normally if you are Muslim looking, they will have somebody behind you and insist that you do not pray, and make sure that you do not pray. Alhamdulillah, we've got the tawfiq to pray somehow, but it's not very easy anymore to pray. And there's statues and things all over the place. But when you go to the Qasr al-Hamra, it's there, but there's nobody there. It's there, the garden's there, well looked after still. Ajeeb, wallahu a'lam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from making the same mistakes that the people there made. May Allah forgive them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us learn a lesson from this. Because that is very important. It's very important. So, what Fakhruddin al-Razi, he says that all of these descriptions that are given of these two gardens made a distinction between branches and the fruits by mentioning also the streams that flow that flow there. And this is the way, this is the way of the description that is normally given, and that is normally the way you will kind of promote these things even in this world if you get to that level. We may not understand this because we don't deal at that level. You know, most of us are probably not at that level, but somebody who listens to this will understand that if they are buying properties and estates at that level, they will understand that this is kind of the description that they will normally hear about. Right? I mean, isn't that what's given for these exclusive five-star hotels? This is the kind of description that you're given. You know, there's going to be a pool there, there's going to be water, there has to be. Right? Then there has to be all of this, you know, even if it's fake greenery that they have to create in the middle of Dubai, in the middle of the desert. It has to happen because that is what people want. They don't want to live in brick and mortar only. They want all of these things within it. That's why if you go to Las Vegas today, there's one called the Venetian. And literally they've tried to recreate Venice. Canals running through it within a building. And they say that that's a place in the world where you can go and ask for whatever you want. As long as you have money. You can ask for what you want, what cuisine you want, what dish you want, and you should have it. We're speaking about paradise here. All of these things, whatever it may be, it's, they've got, I mean, I don't want to start describing Las Vegas to you, but, you know, you've got ajeeb things like that. They've got fountains, that water that jumps up and down to music, ajeeb stuff. But that's all trying to recreate Jannah in this world. It comes at a cost, clearly it does. And there are people who are going in there quite happy to lose their money. Coming out of there, having lost thousands, thinking, but they look after us. Thanking the people for it. There is an old woman who's there losing money. And somebody asks her, that aren't you, isn't this your children's inheritance? Said, yes, but my son, he has enough anyway, and he'll be happy that I'm making myself happy. That people have created this way of happiness. To lose money, you get happy, subhanAllah. And money is spent to make you happy so that you lose more money there. But that's a tangent. Let's get back to paradise, the real paradise. May Allah give us real paradise. May Allah give us the ability to abstain from these things in this world, so that we get the real thing in the hereafter. Because when Allah gives it to us, He will give it with hospitality. Salamun alaykum bima sabartum. Peace be upon you because of your sabr and your patience. Not come in, stay in here because we know we're going to make more money off you. That's going to be true hospitality. May Allah give us that true hospitality. So what he's explaining is that when a person of that nature would enter into a garden, he's not going to run to eat the fruits. You're not going to run and eat the fruits. You're going to first look at it. You're just going to just take pleasure and just soak in the scenery before you go in and have anything to eat. That in itself, just the looking at it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't start from the fruit. He started from the description of the stream and the branches. So they would first start looking around and enjoying the scenery. Taking all of that in. Then they would sit down to eat something when they've kind of taken it in. And in the world, the human being doesn't eat or drink until they get hungry. Normally, we look around. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about this greenery first. Because normally that's what we do. That's why he says, فَسُبْحَانَ مَنْ يَأْتِي بِالْآيَاتِ بِأَحْسَنِ الْمَعَانِ فِي أَبْيَنِ الْمَبَانِ. Glorified be the one who brought forth these verses in with the best of meanings, the most beautiful of meanings, and in the best construction, in the best order as well. مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى فُرُشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبَرَقْ. So now, you've seen, you've taken all of this in, all of this fruit is there for you. Where do you sit? Where do you lie? Where do you relax? Where do you rest? Where do you make your place? So he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى فُرُشْ مُتَّكِئِينَ. Ittika means to recline, to relax, and to support yourself with something, to rest against something. عَلَى فُرُشٍ. Furush is firash, furush. These are a type of covering, flooring, as translated. Now, look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this floor, this flooring, the thing you're going to sit on. Instead of giving every single description of it, he just had to say one thing. بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَكْ. He didn't speak about what it will look like outside. He just said what its lining is going to be like. Can you imagine a description like that? This new jacket, the lining is like this. We don't need to tell you what it outside is. The reason why we don't need to tell you is because if the lining is like this, can you imagine what the outside is? Because the lining is normally going to be inferior to the outside. So the lining is from istabarak. That is silken brocade. Thick silk. That's the lining. Can you imagine the top part? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فُرُشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبَرَقْ مُتَّجِعِينَ فِي جِنَانِ الْخُلْدِ عَلَى فُرُشٍ وَثِيرَةٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ دِيبَاجِ وَالْحَرِيرُ السَّمِيكِ. That is thick brocade, thick silk, that is then going to be adorned with golden threads. And this obviously shows its, the extreme amount of richness that has gone into that. That's why Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that this is speaking about the lining. What would you think if you heard about the outer cloth of it? And then that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that this is actually a proof of the other verse which says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ, which is, no nafs knows that gladness of the eyes, the source of the gladness of the eyes in paradise, which has been hidden, which is concealed, which is impossible for you to know about right now. We're just telling you what the lining is going to be like. The rest of it, it's been hidden from you. It's going to be far superior. وَجَنَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ. Now this is the next part here, that which adds, وَجَنَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ, which means, and the fruits plucked from the two gardens will be at hand. This is the translation that is in this version here. Right? That Jannah means those things which are picked and selected of the crops. جَنَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ, that the crops or the fruits that are picked from this will be close by and accessible to you. And what the way that's normally described is that whether you're lying down somewhere, you decide I'm going to lie down here, or you want to sit here, or you want to stand there, the fruits will be accessible to you. You won't have to get up, get a ladder, call somebody, climb up that, throw a stone up there. You won't have to do any of that. It will be there for you, it will be accessible for you, of all of those fruits of the world. Now think of those fruits that you people love, that maybe you only get once in a while when people decide to import it, right? You know, whatever that may be, whether it be your mangoes or, I don't know, you know, whatever you like. Can you imagine all of those things are going to be in paradise and accessible? And it's not that they're going to get sickening. You know, here you eat one or two boxes and you feel like, okay, wait a week now, right? So what the Mufassirin Ibn Abbas radiallahu mentions, that for the Waliullah, the Wali of Allah, the friend of Allah who's in paradise now, it's going to be accessible whatever that person's state is. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny in this world? And then it gets more specific. Now once you've eaten and you've enjoyed, you've looked, there are other needs that a human being has. And those are to be intensified in paradise. Those are to be intensified in paradise. Now here, if you have young children, right, then you may want to get them into another room. Right? Otherwise we won't be able to do a good description here. I'm just mentioning for those who are at home. If you've got young children, and if you think it's sensitive, you can please, you know, take them to another room if you have to.
فيهن قاصرات الطرف لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان. فيهن قاصرات الطرف.
In those gardens, now will be the women, the maidens. That will be قاصرات الطرف. طرف refers to the eyes. Those will, eyes will be downcast. Not downcast out of gloom and sadness and worry and grief, but downcast because of their purity. These are women who are just for the beholder, just for the person of that paradise. They are those which are extremely pure and chaste and created only for this person. So again, the full description doesn't need to be given. قاصرات الطرف. With downcast eyes, in humility, in bashfulness, modesty. That is one of the highest levels of praise that a woman can have, even in this world. Unfortunately, there are people who, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي. It says, الْخَبِيثَاتُ لِلْخَبِيثِينَ وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلْطَيِّبِينَ وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلْطَيِّبَاتِ. So many times we'll get this question from a wife. My husband wants me to do this, or wants me to be involved in this khabith act. Now the thing is, that's why the Quran says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that khabith, al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, that men of this vile nature, they should be for the women of such nature. They will normally look for such women. And women like that will look for such men. Whereas the tayyibun will look for the tayyibat. The pure, chaste, pure-hearted people will be looking for the pure-hearted women. That's why I say out there that if you've got problems with your wife because she is pure-hearted, you seriously need to think about this. You seriously need to think. Whether we come into al-khabithatu lil-khabithin or al-tayyibatu wal-tayyibin. But this is a description given of paradise. Now the world looks at it differently. Now the achievement is where the one who is the most the praiseworthy one now is the one who's the most savvy, right? Streetwise. I guess you do need some amount of street, you know, wiseness as such. But this is speaking about the one who's acting like a man, changing their roles. Alhamdulillah, still not that much in the Muslims, but it's something that we need to think about. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. That before this, neither human nor jinn has touched them, has even come close to them. Really the word yatmith, tamath, means something very specific. Tamath means to break the hymen. Right? I don't need to describe that in detail, but basically it means to have intercourse with a virgin and for it to bleed. That's tamath. That's the meaning of it. Lam yatmithunna, nobody has been there. These are absolutely pure virgins. This is where you probably get the concept of virgin. Lam yat. So that's the word tamath. That's what it means. Right? But it could be used in general as lam yatmithunna, meaning those who have not been touched. Clearly, if that's the case, then they've never been touched by jinn or human. Sha'rawi, one of the Mufassirs, he mentions that, why mention qablahum? Qablahum, because if it was lam yatmithunna qablahum, lam yatmithunna insun wala jan, nobody's touched them, then maybe they will not be able to touch them. But before this, nobody's touched them, because they are for the inhabitant of this jannati. They're for this jannati. They're for this person of paradise. And jinn, why mention not a jinn, nor human? Right? We can understand human beings, but why jinn? So there's a difference of opinion among the ulama as to whether, although the stronger opinion is that it is possible for a jinn and a human being to come together in that regard. That's a possibility. But these will be pure virgins.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Now don't worry, your wives of this world and those wives who are listening, you will be the leader of all of these women in paradise. You'll be more beautiful than they are. So you mustn't feel jealous. And on top of that, there will be no jealousy in paradise. Before you can go into paradise, whether you like it or not, jealousy will be taken off you. It says that before you go into paradise, men or women, jealousy will be stripped off you. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Jealousy in this world is very important for women. It keeps the men at bay. But there will be no haram in paradise. And thus no jealousy is needed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks further. This is, you see, if anybody thinks, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dwelling on this subject? It's all in proportion. You look at anybody, I mean any normal man, okay? Any normal man. You're speaking about first taking the scenery in. The river, the stream, the fruits, where you lie down. Eventually the description is about intimacy. And the description of that is continuous for both of the descriptions. You'll see here it starts off with قاصرات الطرف, showing their purity. لم يطمثن إنس قبلهم ولا جان, totally never been with anybody else. And then number three, كأنهن الياقوت والمرجان, will give you some description of their beauty. Yes, you think that they're just humble and bashful. كأنهن الياقوت والمرجان. They will be as, they will be like rubies and corals. The redness, ruby is red. A coral is kind of pinkish. Comes in different colors. But these are used. Now, how are they? There's a sparkle to rubies. There's an elegance to rubies. There's a richness to rubies. And thus, what's mentioned here is there's a purity to it, a clarity, a clearness. All of these are the descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just used that to describe what these maidens will be like. The other thing is what some of the Mufassirin have explained is that redness of the cheeks. And that's why if you understand makeup, you get blushes and things of that nature. Even if they use a foundation to cover up their blemishes, then they will use a blusher on top to make it red. There's a certain aspect of redness, right? There's a certain beauty to redness. Don't ask me, ask the women, right? But that in paradise, I mean, some of the Mufassirin have said that this is what it's about. It's the redness. It's not going to be red, but it's speaking about, sometimes redness is actually used for whiteness because there is no pure whiteness. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, when he spoke about a nation of people being red, he's speaking about the white people as such. Because they're not white. There's redness to it. Right? Different amounts of redness. Depending on how angry you get them. Darker people don't change color. Lighter people, they become blue and red. You know, depending on the different aspects. There's fadila for everything, isn't there? There's fadila for everything. No discrimination here against white people or black people. It's just a fact. Subhanallah. It says that if you make a hole through a ruby and you string it, you can see the string. It's so pure, it's so clean. And that's why it kind of goes in conformance to some of the narrations that we have in description of these women, which is just such an ajib description. Because it says, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ مِن نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ لَيُرَى بَيَاضُ سَاقِهَا مِن وَرَاءِ سَبْعِينَ حُلَّةً مِن حَرِيرٍ. How do you understand that? That a woman from the women of the people of paradise, the whiteness from her calf will be seen through 70 layers of silk. It's just mind-boggling. What kind of silk is this? You know, what kind of a transparency. What is it exactly speaking about? Hatta yura mukhuha, so much so that you'll be able to see their marrow in the bone. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? And then this is ended with هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Can the reward for doing good, beautifying your faith, beautifying your relationship, because the word ihsan in Urdu and other languages, ihsan means to be benevolent, to gift someone, to be kind to someone, generous to someone. But in Arabic, the word ihsan means to beautify something, to make something hasan, to make something beautiful and good and excellent. So can there be any reward? Can there be any beautification for the beautification done by a person in the world than this beautification, than this excellence, than this great benevolence? Is there any reward for goodness other than this goodness? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about another paradise for those who haven't been at the forefront, whose total conscience wasn't with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had lapses. Maybe they've been forgiven. You know, maybe they did and then they were forgiven. Maybe they were put into paradise through intercession. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy on them because of a good act that they did. But if you looked at it, they weren't at the forefront. Because those who are at the forefront, the sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon, as mentioned in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, they will have the paradises that we've just described, the gardens that we've just described. The other ones, the rest of the believers who are not gone to the hellfire. And even those, when they come back from hellfire, this is the kind of paradise that they will get. So it's not of any low category. It's just that it's just slightly lower than the first one that we spoke about. Yet others, they've also said that, no, this is speaking about two different types of paradises, of gardens that will be given to all believers. This is the superior one, and then there's another one as well. Although it seems like the second, the earlier opinion is better, that this is for the different degrees of people in paradise. And even then, within each of these degrees, there'll probably be a hierarchy as well. Because there are 100 degrees of paradise. This one, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ مُدْهَامَّتَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فيهما عينان نضاختان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما فاكهة ونخل ورمان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهن خيرات حسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان حور مقصورات في الخيام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان متكئين على رفرف خضر وعبقري حسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان تبارك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here is, and besides these two, there are two other gardens. And the translator adds, for the second category of the God-fearing. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Both gardens, these ones, are dark green. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? In both, there are two springs gushing forth profusely. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? In both, there are fruits and date palms and pomegranates. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? In them there will be women, good and gorgeous. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? The Huris, kept guarded in pavilions. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Whom neither a man might have touched before them, nor a jinn. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? The people of these gardens will be reclining on green cushions and marvelously beautiful mattresses. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Glorious is the name of your Lord, the Lord of majesty, the Lord of honor. Now if you observed here that in the descriptions of the different things, they were of the same things, but the descriptions were more specific. So it kind of limited that this is what you'll get. Whereas in the first one, the descriptions were evasive. The descriptions were symbolic and indicative of the greater thing. It didn't describe it. It described an aspect of it, giving you an indication of the rest of it. Whereas in here, for example, it said, you'll have pomegranates, fruits and date palms. Whereas there it was, you will have two of every single fruit that there is. We'll look at that in a bit more detail. So, وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ. And other than these, there will be two other gardens. The first was for the sabiqeen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ. After talking about السابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the ones who will be at the forefront, right? Then he speaks about Ashabul Maymana and Ashabul Mash'ama. Ashabul Maymana, the people of the right. And the Ashabul Mash'ama, the people of the left. The people of the left are clearly the Fujjar, the transgressors and the criminals. And the people of the right are those who are maybe not at the forefront, but they are still on the right track. They will be given their books in the right hand. They'll be taken towards the right to their paradise and not to hellfire. So now, this is a description of the paradise for the Ashabul Maymana, according to the Mufassirin. The first description of these two gardens for these people is that Mudhammatan. The word Mudhammatan comes from a meaning of intense green. And the reason why it's intensely green is because of the greenery, the abundance of this greenery. So it's just going to look dark. But dark in greenery, not dark and gloomy, but dark in its greenery. It's just so lush and so beautiful. So it's not going to be sparsely populated with plants and with fruits and trees, but it's going to be very green, and that will be very abundant. And that's why it says that when you've got this dark greenery all together, it almost seems as if it's black. But the reason for that is that it's just so much of it all together. And the reason for that is abundant water, abundant irrigation. But even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Speaking about the two rivers here, the two sources of water, in the other one it was flowing. Yajriyan. Jara yajri means to flow, to run. So that's talking about very fast-paced movement of water. In this case though, it's naddahatan. The translation that they've done here for this, naddahatan is gushing forth profusely. What it is really, is that like a fountain that spurts out water. So it's not the same level of flow as the first two gardens, as the streams in the first two. But there is still abundant. But there is a difference. You know, when people want to want to be different, they won't buy the Mercedes or the BMW that is, you know, the highest level one, whatever it may be. They will have it specially kitted out with silver. They'll gold plate it. They'll, you know, stud it with, I don't know, rubies and gold and things like that. This is what people do. This is what you call, millionaire's musti. Right? The musti of the millionaire. Right? For the Arabs, that won't make any sense. It's the mischief of the millionaires. I guess that works. The play That's basically what it is. They want to be different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, you won't want any. I'll give you everything and beyond you can even think about. That's why it mentions that this last person who will go in, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, think and write your list. He will think and he will say, this is what I want this, I want this. Just think some more. And he'll try to think of a few other things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a number of other things and he won't even fathom. It will be beyond his imagination. So these are fawaratan. These are like fountains of water that will never stop. But it's not the same as a flowing river. Right? Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mention that these fountains as such of water, these two supplies, they on the awliyaullah, meaning on the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the inhabitants of this paradise, they will sprinkle on them, they will be a source of musk and amber. Musk and amber. Musk refers to the special fragrance that comes from a sack from a deer, a special musk deer. Right? It's a sack that is removed, and it could be removed even when the deer is alive. I'm not sure if another one grows there or what, but it occurs in Nepal and another place. And then when you open it up, it has musk inside. That's the really pure. I've seen this. It's really a very kind of a intense kind of a. I mean, to describe it is very difficult to describe the scent, but it's a very kind of intense. It's beyond rose. Unfortunately, most of the musks you get out there are not real musk, right? That's the real stuff. Then amber. This is ambergris. Now ambergris is a ball of something that a specific whale, I think the sperm whale, that when it consumes. There's a certain bone from a certain bone or a certain a certain part of one of the fish or one of the things that it eats that it cannot digest. So it comes together and then it excretes it, and this is washed ashore. This is so valuable that you've got people who will be staying in hotels around that area, and as soon as they find it, they'll get it and they'll sell it off. It's very expensive. It takes a while to mature. And if you smell that, it is totally amazing. Mostly people buy Shamamatul Ambar, which is a knockoff. It has nothing to do with the real amber or the real ambergris. I remember when somebody showed me real ambergris, $15 for a small veal. Not a bottle, not those normal bottles, but these really small veals, like $15 for that. But it was when you put it on, it stayed for a few days, and it was just an amazing smell, right? Musk is very difficult. Musk you need to mix up, because the real smell is a very strong, it's a very heavy smell, right? But you have to develop your understanding and your taste for these things. Otherwise, you're quite happy with most people are quite happy with other stuff, unfortunately. Well, it's good for business, I guess, for all this other stuff that comes out. Anyway, so it says that this will be a sprinkling of this fragrance. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ I told you last time there are companies now that will make a special scent for you, and especially, you know, all paradise. I mean, paradise has all of these things at a very high level. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Now in here, when it goes then to فِيهِمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَخْلٌ وَرُمَانٌ, speaking about the fruits, specifically speaks about there will be fruits, نَخْلٌ, palm, the dayton, it says the date palms, fruits and date palms and pomegranates. And apparently these are supposed to be some of the best fruits that you can get. Right? Wallahu alam. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning them here, they're supposed to be. I know some of you are going to prefer mangoes, right? But that is the case. That's what you're going to get in paradise. Not to say that you might not get mangoes there, but you know, these pomegranates. Now very strangely, in America, most people wouldn't understand pomegranates to be of any significance, because most of the pomegranates that you get there are all sour. They're really big. You buy one I remember, you know, here, mashallah, most of the pomegranates are small, whatever. They're very nice and sweet. So I went there, you've got these big, big pomegranates you can buy, and they're sour. So, okay, maybe wrong time. Couldn't buy another one, you know, after a few months. Sour. It's just, that's the type of pomegranate that's available there. So many Americans that I have asked, they couldn't understand what pomegranate was so good about pomegranates. But you see some of the serious pomegranates, like the Kabuli pomegranates, you used to get them in India. They're big, and they are sweet, and the stiffness, the firmness of each is just amazing. And when you're talking about the one in paradise, it's going to be a totally different story. You can buy the juice of pomegranate, which is really expensive, the really pure stuff, because it's supposed to have a lot of benefits. It's supposed to have great nutritional and medical benefits, which I don't think mango has. Seriously, I don't think so. Right? Comparatively speaking. Taste-wise, you know, you may argue the case, but in terms of benefit, pomegranate is definitely supposed to be better. They say that pomegranate is something that, you know, when people even lose their kind of appetite and they lose a kind of taste in their mouth, pomegranate is something that is so pleasant that it even works then. You know, mangoes might be sickly then, right? Curries and things like that will be very sickening, but pomegranate is something that even works at that pace. Wallahu a'lam. It's going to be in paradise, right? It's going to be in paradise. Just like fish is going to be in paradise. That's going to be a food that's going to be given to you. So those people who don't like fish, right? I don't know if you want to start eating, but at least make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send me to paradise. Inshallah, you'll enjoy it in paradise anyway. Not shrimp, pure fish we're talking about. Right? So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? فِيهِنَّ خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ. Now it starts to speak about the maidens. فِيهِنَّ خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ. خَيْرَات, doers of good. Beautiful. حِسَان. نِسَاءٌ صَالِحَةٌ. Pious, righteous. The description here is different. كَرِيمَاتُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Of the best character. حِسَانُ الْوُجُوهِ. Of the most beautiful features and outward beauty. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ. These will be the hur that will be confined in their pavilions, guarded in their pavilions. Main thing is that, yes, it's a nice description, it's a beautiful description. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it to us. May Allah make our acts like that, like the people of paradise. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا هداة لمن اهتدى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك التمام العافية والدوام العافية والشكر على العافية اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الجنون والجذام والبرس وسيء الأسقام اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.